The message today,
that are not completed, and one of the references made there call our attention to his being a physician. And I want us to look at other passages about our Savior's ability as a physician. Chapter 4 of Luke, verse 17. Our Lord is in his own hometown where he had been brought up, and he's in the synagogue, and now he's going to read verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Doubtless ye will say unto me this parable, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done at Capernaum, do also here in thine own country." Notice, physician, heal thyself. Now, chapter 5, verse 29, "And Levi made him a great feast at his house. And there was a great multitude of publicans and of others that were sitting at meat with him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured against the disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with them, with the publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And let's look at the reference in Mark. It's also in Luke, but let's look at it in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. "And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all her living and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague." That's all that's necessary to read. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the man that thou dost set before our eyes. Thou dost know how many desire to see him. We would see Jesus. We remember that Zacchaeus climbed that sycamore tree to see Jesus, who he was. And it is our desire this morning that we shall see him not with our physical eyes, but with the eyes of our heart. How many saw him in the flesh when he was on earth, but were not benefited in their souls. But our Father, there were those who were blind who saw him, and they were benefited. So our God, we pray that by thy Spirit, thou shalt work upon the hearts of all who are here, that they may see the Lord Jesus set forth before them, as the Spirit of God alone can reveal him. We thank you for the beauty of thy Son. We thank you for the power of thy Son. And we desire to experience that power within our souls. You know our sins. We confess them. As thou hast promised, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Not only in the New Testament, but in the Old, therefore, from days of old, days of Christ, and today, the world is being dealt with by physicians who are of no value. Remarkable that we read of such wondrous things that they are able to do, and yet so many that we know of, that we speak to, who have visited these physicians, have found them incompetent. That's a sad thing. They're able to accomplish many things, but they are incompetent in so many ways, not willing to acknowledge it, and alas, the spirit is that which the woman who had an issue of blood experienced. Their intention is to grow rich. If in the course of that they heal some people, that is all right. But, alas, from what we have seen and heard about physicians, they are incompetent and they are without conscience, and at the same time, they are not able to do the things that they pretend to do. Thank God for faithful physicians. There are many in the world. There was a physician that was a companion of the Apostle Paul. His name is Luke. Luke, the beloved physician. So thank God for the beloved physicians that are in the world, that are competent and at the same time are honest and will tell you openly, I am able to do nothing for you in your distress. And thank God for the physicians who are in the world who can diagnose the case correctly, prescribe the correct medicine, remedy, and before you realize it, you are healed. At times, there are sicknesses that you have experienced and the physicians that you have visited have not been able to heal them. But it is not because your sickness cannot be healed. It is because of the incompetence of the physician. Let me tell you two illustrations. One about a dog that I had, and one about myself. We had a dog years ago, some of you knew her, named Rainy Weather. And when she was a puppy, she had this dread skin disease, and the terrible thing was this, that the veterinarian concerning this disease did not know what to do about it. I'll mention this, that our dog had been with other dogs, and the people with whom we had stayed told us to our great embarrassment and said, since your dog is with our dog, they have a horrible skin disease, and we've taken them to our veterinarians, and they prescribed all sorts of remedies, but nothing can be done. Is it possible that you are able to tell us what should be done? And we rejoiced that we had found a competent veterinarian who looked at our dog and in a moment diagnosed what was wrong, treated the dog, and the dog was cured. And so then the conference, we said, why yes, this is what's wrong with your dog, and this is the remedy. The woman went and told her veterinarian, and he said, no, that's not what's wrong. She said, will you please try the medicine of this veterinarian that he had suggested? They put the medicine on the dog, and the dog was healed immediately. So do you understand that even in the animal world, there are veterinarians who look and diagnose incorrectly, who will say, this is not the disease, but the disease can be healed, and there is a medicine. in like manner. Perhaps 20 years ago, I had been troubled with a rash that broke out on my hands, and it had been there for years. And I had gone to a dermatologist, and he gave a prescription, and I grew no better, but worse. And one day I was visiting my mother-in-law in Canada, and passing by the office, I saw a nurse there, and I said, "Do you happen to know anything that could help this rash on my hand?" She said, "Why, of course." And she gave me a little bottle of salve to put on it, and as soon as I got out of her office, I put it on the rash, and within 30 minutes, it was completely gone, and I was troubled no more. Now, isn't that sad? There are competent dermatologists, and this was a sincere man that was trying to treat me, but he did not know what medicine to prescribe. And I think now of Naaman the leper, and what had tried to be done on him to cure him. Nobody could do anything for him, but there was a little maid who said, "Why, I know what can be done," and she sent him to the prophet. So do you understand that at times there are many incompetent physicians, and they will not acknowledge their incompetence, but it is not the way it was in the Orient years ago. If the physician said that he would heal you, and he did not heal you, he was put to death. And therefore, he came to the physician and said, "Can you heal me?" And the physician said yes, and he did not. It meant his life. And so, for that reason, they would have to be honest and say, "I cannot tell you for sure." But today, if you go to physicians and they treat you, whether you are cured or not, you will always receive the bill. For I promise you this, that I, who am a physician that works on souls, I guarantee my cure. It has never been known to fail, just as the Savior who taught all of his followers the remedy for the souls that are diseased with sin, he never failed, and those who follow his teachings, they never fail as well. And this is what is so sad, that this woman who had an issue of blood had that same experience. For 12 years, she had had this disease, and she had spent all her living on physicians and grew nothing better but worse. And she had heard about the Lord Jesus. Now, let us think of this for a moment. I can understand why the world refrains from visiting the Lord Jesus for help. Why? Because instead of going to him, they have heard and been diagnosed by charlatans that are supposed to be his followers, and they have given their remedies for the forgiveness of sin and for the cure of the sickness of the soul, and they grow no better but worse, and they have spent all of their living on these false, incompetent physicians. And so for that reason, I can understand why they hesitate to go to the Lord Jesus. It was like that poor father whose son was a demoniac, and he came to the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and they attempted to do something for the sick child, and they were unable. And the man said to the Lord Jesus, he said, "If you can do anything, help us." You understand that the failure of the followers of Jesus had thrown a shadow of doubt upon the ability of the Lord Jesus to do anything. And therefore the man said, "If you can do anything, help us." And the Lord Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible." The Lord Jesus was aware of his competence to deal with any of the diseases without and within that troubled mankind. And that is why I read to you the portion in Luke chapter 4, and I've been telling about this physician who was sent to earth from heaven to cure earth's diseases. None of these diseases are in heaven. It's like this. When the white man came among the Indians, when the white man went to Hawaii, he carried with him his diseases, and the natives died by the thousands. Well, in heaven, there are none of these diseases. But there was one in heaven who had no sin, no disease of his own, and the Father sent this great physician from heaven to earth to deal with all the ills that afflict the heart of man within and the physical diseases that afflict him without. And the Lord Jesus is the competent physician. Think of this woman who spent all her living on physicians and grew none better but worse. And she came to the Lord Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, and immediately what other physicians were unable to do was done for her. Immediately the sickness vanished away. The Lord Jesus is he who knows how to deal with sick mankind. And when he was on earth, there was no physical disease that he could not heal. When he was on earth, there was no spiritual disease that he could not heal. Now, I must make this confession. I do not have the ability that the Savior gave to his apostles to cleanse the leper, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. You have heard of many who claim to have that same gift today. But I tell you that they are liars, and if they will put forth the proof and let it be tested by competent physicians, then they will discover that unless God has done the exception, he can still do it. He can still impart this gift to man. But what has happened is that they pretend to do it, but they fail to do it. But in failing to do so, they will not acknowledge that failure. They will say, why, it's your fault, it's not mine. Or they will say, you are healed. And I must give this illustration again. There was a medical doctor, Dr. William Nolan, and he wrote a book, In Search of a Miracle. And he went to all of these faith healers, and I would mention their names if you would know them, went and visited them, and to one he said, would you give me the name and address of 12 of those that you have healed, the sure healings that have been performed by you, and I would like to go and speak with them. And to her embarrassment, this faith healer gave him 12 addresses. And when he went to visit, some of them had been healed. He was unable to find them because they were dead. Those who were supposed to be healed were dead. And those that were supposed to be cured of their lameness, they were on crutches or in wheelchairs. And those that were supposed to be healed of heart disease, they were unable to get up and come and talk to him. He checked out all of these, not of his own selection, but that the faith healer gave him to check out, and not one of them proved valid. And this man in sincerity was seeking this out. And now, this is what is so sorrowful. Having seen this, he would say, this faith healer is a liar, and this faith healer is a liar, and this faith healer is a liar. And secretly in the heart, there might be this feeling. And perhaps all that I read about Jesus in the Bible, about healing men, perhaps they are lies as well. You see, the sorrow and the disgrace among those that pretend to be representatives of Jesus, that have failures, because there is no such thing as failure when one touches even the hem of Christ's garment, when a faithful servant of Christ presents the truth of the gospel, as Paul writes to the Colossians, since you heard the truth of the gospel. There are many gospels, there are many pretended things that people say that Jesus will do and has done, that they can do. but they prove to be false, and therefore people say, well then, perhaps Jesus did not do these things either. The same way that even when Christ was on earth, the father who had a son that was demon-possessed found failure in the disciples, 9 of them, that were down in the valley. They were unable to do anything for his son. And therefore he had this question, if you can do anything, if you can do anything. And so they convey a false impression about the truth of Jesus, the confident physician. I tell you that Jesus has never been known to fail. Compare what he does with all of the so-called faith healers today, and you will see these two differences. There is never a screening. I've been told about those that before they heal, they have a screening as to which ones they're going to attempt to heal. And a dear friend I know from Raleigh, whose brother had his eyes blown out with dynamite, he went to this faith healer, and in the screening he said, what's wrong with your brother? His eyes have been blown out with dynamite. Sorry, I can do nothing for him. And so they wouldn't even attempt to treat the man. And yet it said that in the days of our Savior, all that were sick were brought to him, cast at his feet. And it says, he healed them all. There was never one that was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ that was superior to the power of God that was in the man. And so I tell you that even though today you see pretenders that are liars, and even though you see those in Christ's day that were his followers, that because they had not prayed, because they had not remained in communion with God, they failed. And even then, can Jesus do anything? And I might add this. When our Savior was being crucified on the cross, they looked at him and laughed and said, come down from the cross and we will believe that you are the Messiah. There were times when men failed. And there was that time when our Savior, because of love and because he must bear our sins on the cross, he could not come down. And so they look and say, since he does not come down, he has never been able to do anything. But the truth of the matter is to see the Lord Jesus and ask those, like this woman who was cured of her infirmity, that touched the hem of his garment, and the Lord Jesus demanded. He found out, who is it that touched me? And finally the woman in fear and trembling came and said, I touched you. And the Lord Jesus said, woman, you are healed of your faith. Go thy way. Thy faith has healed thee. You see, any time there was a test as to those that Jesus had healed, it always turned out to be true. And in John chapter 9, the one that was born blind, when he was questioned, there was never a question, are your eyes actually open? His parents knew his eyes were open. He knew his eyes were open. And the enemies of the Lord Jesus knew his eyes were open. They just wanted to know, how did he do it? How? There was never any doubt when our Savior was on earth about the validity of his miracles. For instance, when Jairus' daughter was pronounced dead by those that surrounded her, the Lord Jesus said, she's not dead. She's sleeping. And they laughed in the scorn. And the Savior said, Talitha Kumi, little damsel, arise. And she rose up. What could they say to that? And when the widow of Nain's son was being carried to burial, and the Lord Jesus stopped the funeral procession and said, young man, arise. And he sat up and he gave the child to his mother. What could be denied? When our Savior was on earth, none of his miracles were denied. The only thing they could say is this. Yes, he performs miracles, but it's by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. That's how he performs his miracles. They never denied that the Lord Jesus could cure miracles. Now, in the portion that we read, the only objection was this. They said, we've heard what you've been doing all the places that you visited. Now, what we want you to do is where you were brought up, do for us what you have done elsewhere. Physician, heal thyself. Do you see? Yes, we've heard this reputation. Now, do here what you've done elsewhere. And the Lord Jesus had them to know that though there was in his power the ability to heal all mankind, the Lord Jesus wanted them to know that he only healed those that the Father directed him to heal. This is such a strange thing. Our Savior, when he was in Jerusalem, went to a porch that was filled with sick people. And he who had the power to speak a word, to touch the sick and heal them, he went to one and left the rest in their sickened condition. And if you say, tell me why, I'm not able to tell you why, but I'm able to tell you that what he did for the one and what he did for all others whom the Father directed him to heal, he is able to do for mankind today. And if you say, why does he not do it today? I'm no more able to answer that question than I'm able to answer why he left all of those that were surrounding that one sick man, why he did not heal them all. I'm not able to tell you. I simply tell you that he is able, but he did not do it. But Jesus is the competent physician. And at the same time, with his competency, is his communion with his Father. And he knows which ones to heal, and he knows which ones to say, as he did to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. If he would not heal Paul, why should I expect him to heal me? But if he does not heal me now, he has grace that is better than the balm of Gilead to contain us and to cause us to accept the will of God for our lives until the day that he descends from heaven with a shout. And I promise you this, that when he does, in a moment, whatever sickness you have will disappear. They speak about what's going to happen in catastrophe to the world when Jesus comes. I tell you what is going to happen in blessing to the world when Jesus comes. For this reason, every Bartimaeus that is in the world, every child of God that has never seen the light of day but has trusted the Lord Jesus, when he descends from heaven with a shout, their eyes shall be opened, and outwardly they shall be healed of all the diseases they have ever had. All the imperfections of mankind shall be healed in a moment at that time, in the twinkling of an eye. That is what will happen when Jesus comes. And at the same time, what is wrong with man on the inside, and I rejoice in this, that whereas God has given me sight and hearing, at the same time, he has not given me soundness of soul, and neither has he given you, because the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that sin that is within us when we see our Savior, that will be healed in a moment of time as well. So right now, the Lord Jesus can give you the remedy for the forgiveness of sin and the assurance that when he comes, we shall be like him or we shall see him as he is, and that when he comes, as he promises in Philippians chapter 3, he shall change our vile bodies, the bodies of our humiliation, and he shall conform them to his glorious body. And just as he is perfect, so in that coming day our bodies will be perfect, and our souls will be perfect. And right now, he assures us, as he said to that man that was paralyzed, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. As he said to the woman, thy sins are forgiven thee. Right now, he forgives sins. There is the earnest, the down payment of the blessings. And in the coming day, there will be the redemption of the purchased possession. And then all that is contained in that promise, it will be realized in actuality when he comes. But think of this now, that God has sent but one physician from heaven to attend to all mankind. We received letters from missionaries saying, our one doctor has gone on furlough, or our nurse, they speak of the scarcity. And that is the way it was even when the Savior was on earth. He said, the fields are white in the harvest, the laborers are few. The work, abundant, plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth the laborers into the harvest. But understand that to start it all, the Lord sent but one physician from heaven. Now, listen to all of these sicknesses and diseases that were upon earth when the Father sent him. The Lord Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captive, to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Here, in a nutshell, is a picture of all mankind, sick within and without, and all mankind can be fitted into one of these categories. Because, whereas our Savior opened the physical eyes of those that were physically blind, there were those that were spiritually blind as well. But the Lord Jesus was able to do both. There are some physicians who today, with the knowledge that God has allowed them to grasp, they have ability with the scalpel, with the laser, with medicines to give sight to those who are blind. Challenge that same physician. Give sight to the blinded eyes of sinners. And they will say, unless they're like Luke, the beloved physician, I have not that ability. Go to someone else to do that. But at the same time, there are those who can give you spiritual sight now, and they will honestly confess that you'll have to wait until my Savior comes before I can give you the physical sight. But I assure you that what is more important now is the spiritual sight than the physical sight. Because one is guaranteed, and all of you who see now, but who have not had the eyes of your heart enlightened, opened by forgiveness of sins, in that coming day, you will not see the Lord Jesus with the same beatific vision that we who have spiritual eyes open see him. You will see him with terror, and it says, every eye shall see him. But understand that when Jesus came, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Where is your heart? You say, well, that's something on the inside. And the Lord Jesus is able to heal the brokenhearted. That's the most important thing to man. I venture to say that there are those who are going around in perfect physical condition. But that physical condition is being broken down because of the anxiety, because of the sorrow of heart that is contained in their heart. And the Lord Jesus, in a moment, can heal the broken hearted. I can promise you that. I can promise you also release from the bondage of sin, because that's what the Lord Jesus came to do. He said, I came to preach release to the captives. And there are those, as he said in John chapter 8, he that committed sin is a slave of sin. And so let all of your psychiatrists and all of your earthly physicians free you from the slavery of sin, from the habits that you cannot break, and they are unable to do so. But those that lay hold on and avail themselves of the spiritual power that is in Christ, they understand why Christ came to preach deliverance, release to the captives. And at the same time, he came also to set at liberty them that are bruised. I think of this, and I will bring it to your attention. There are those who have physically been bruised because of the lives that they live and because of the bruises that sin brings. I've known, and I think of this, a dear one who, in his drunkenness, fell down stairs and was bruised and battered. And I think of the dear wives who have husbands that abuse them, the alcoholics, those that are on drugs that come and abuse others. And at the same time, look at their emaciated bodies and you'll see a picture of sin. The Lord Jesus said, I've come to set at liberty those that are bruised, because that is what sin does to mankind. It bruises and it batters. And you can see it physically outwardly when you look upon their physical appearances. And the Lord Jesus can cure those things. Because when one who has been battered and bruised by sin, when he is freed from his sin, Then the Lord Jesus no longer says, he that committed sin is the slave of sin. But the Lord Jesus says, now that you have yielded your body unto obedience, unto righteousness, you are freed from those things wherein you once gloried. And all of these things the Lord Jesus came from heaven to do. And he demonstrated it when he was on earth. Think of this woman who was bound by sin and rejection. And yet at the feet of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, accepting her worship, said unto her, thy faith has saved thee. This woman lost much. Think, a woman who was characterized by lust. But now, the Lord Jesus says, this woman is characterized by love. And whereas her life was one of sin, now it is one of worship, and she's lavishing genuine heavenly love upon me, and I accept it. And tears of gratitude, not of a broken heart, but tears of gratitude were flowing from her eyes, and all because the Lord Jesus is that competent physician. And so, there can only be something wrong with you either without or within. And the Lord Jesus, God's physician from heaven, is able to deal with the brokenhearted within. And he's able to deal with those that are bruised and are captives of sin without. So the Lord Jesus is the physician that you've been looking for. Look no further. Jesus is able. He will heal you. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that there is one who has done all things well. And you have put forth a challenge. Is anything too hard for God, neither for you nor your Son? And we are thankful that every promise that he has made has always been fulfilled. And those who trust him wholly find him wholly true. We thank you, Father, for the competency, the dependency, the truthfulness, the sincerity of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, who will do all that we need to have done for us now within. And he promises that when he comes, he will do the rest. So may all of us be touched by thy Spirit within to trust him and be blessed and healed by Jesus, the competent physician. In his name we pray. Amen.